whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
It's not bad. No, it's a four. It's a four. Wink Martindale. I want Sweet Lou or I want Wink. Just for the names alone. That's who I want as my defensive coordinators. Brian Flores is not coming here to be a defensive coordinator. He wants to be a head coach. But that scheme, he's talking about taking over. You know what? You're going to laugh at me for this. You're going to laugh at me for this, but when I'm playing NCAA, and I run a lot of nickel. That's the common defense, right? And I'm not going to lie, man. I'm always running a nickel where the two linebackers, like, remember Mike Zimmer would have his linebackers in the A-gap, and they're looking like they're blitzing, they're looking like they're blitzing, and they drop off. I've always got six guys standing up at the line of scrimmage. Always. Always. Because I think it is confusing to Baldy's point about Brian Flores. When he's stacking 6 or 7 at the line of scrimmage, and somebody on the text line here, 510 Comcast Business text line, oh, that Zucci man. Remember, Brock Purdy gave Brian Flores credit for a scheme. Like, man, that scheme is crazy. That scheme is crazy. Well, that scheme is crazy. But so is Weeks. So is Lou's. And Lou didn't have a lot of personnel on defense, but Trey Henderson did lead the league in sacks, I believe. So I do think Shask and I think about it. They cannot, the 49ers, they cannot come back with Nick Sorensen as a D coordinator. If he wants to be a position coach again, fine. But defensive coordinator? No.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no question that they've got to change up their defense. I mean, Bonte, look, if we just did a draft right now of all the available who are currently defensive coordinators, I mean, this guy's a bottom five pick. Like, remove our Niner hats and, you know, rah-rah the team and all that. Like, we can also acknowledge, like, come on, who's taking him over 25 other people out there? Now, that being said, I won't allow any more A-gap talk. That is on a different station at a different time slot.
No, I love the A-gap. No, Shasky. See, we got to educate our fan base. We got to prove that other people can talk about the A-gap, and we know what the A-gap is. It's the first thing you learn in football. When I played Pop Warner football, Coach Greg Eisen with Paul Berger, this is the zero gap. This is the one gap. This is the two gap. This is the B gap. This is the C gap. This is all that. This is the two hole. This is the three hole. This is the four hole. This is the five. All that stuff. That's the first thing you learn in football. So if people don't understand it, it's okay for us to educate them on that. I love A gap talk.
Yay!
I love B gap talk. I love C gap talk. I love five techniques, four techniques, three techniques. I love all that stuff. That's geeking out on football. That's what we love, Shasky. Do not limit yourself to that.
I wrote down a bunch of different questions for the Niners heading into the offseason based off the year we just saw. I asked Baldy a question, and I'll ask you the same question. It's not, do you want him on the team? Is Deebo Samuel good? Is he still good?
I think he's fine, but I think it's time to move on.
Why?
It just doesn't fit anymore.
What's he good at?
Well, you get the ball in his hands, he can still make plays. I think he proved that against Miami. I think he proved that earlier in the season. The guy can still make plays when you put the ball in his hands, but it's how do you put the ball in his hands? If he's not going to get off a press man and he's not going to run great routes, then maybe it's time to move on from this guy. And that's what I'm saying. So I do believe there's still some talent there. And if he's a third wide receiver on the team, or if he's, like, say if he went to Carolina, or if he went to Tampa and he's playing opposite of Jalen McMillan and Mike Evans and Bucky Irving, I still think there's a productive player in there. So I don't think Deebo's washed. I still think him as a primary weapon on your offense, when you have to elevate him as your number one option, it's not there anymore. That's where I'm at with Deebo. So I don't think he's weak. I don't think he's washed. I just don't think he's productive as your guy. If you're going to build a game plan around him, as the Niners do so often, and we heard that on the receiver doc where the Cleveland game, Deebo gets hurt early, and they're like, damn, we had a Deebo Samuel heavy game plan. I don't think you need to do that moving forward with Deebo. So I do think he's good. I think all these players are good. You make the NFL, you're good. But, yeah, I don't think it works here anymore.
And then do you trust that IU can be back and productive next year?
I got to see him hit the field. I got to see him hit the field. I don't know.
Because if you move off of Deebo, right, I think they're kind of connected in the sense that you move off Deebo, you've got pretty good faith that Ayuk's going to be back and ready to go, right? At some level.
You would hope.
Right?
You
and would then hope. You're assuming that you're going to have Juwan Jennings. You're assuming that you're going to have Ricky Pearsall. And I guess Cowing over Connolly, but maybe Connolly and Cowing. I don't know.
I just see a lot of Cowing. I just see a lot of Cowing this year in the past.
They played him at the end of the year.
So I don't know.
You know, he got a couple of routes at the end. I think they did a little jet sweep to get him the ball.
It's not enough for me. You know what I'm
obviously,
saying?
But he's their kick returner, so he's going to be one of your wide receivers.
You would hope. We thought the same with Richie James Jr., right?
Well,
you never know with Shandy.
They kept Ray McLeod on, and he was kind of their kick returner and their like fourth, fifth wide receiver.
And we know he was non-existent in the pass game.
Is Ricky Pearsall ready to take a massive step forward?
Look, Ricky Pearsall looked good. Ricky Pearsall looked good.
It was really encouraging, wasn't it?
Really good. But you asked me about Deebo, and I just think when you look at the Monday night game, he got one target. Now, as I went back and watched it after the Cavs game, because obviously the Warriors were playing the Cavs for the same time, and I actually had the Niners game on, not because of whether or not I wanted to see if the Niners were going to win or lose, it's because I was playing in the fantasy championship, and I needed Deebo to score under 21 points, which happened. But as it was going on, as the game was progressing, I said, damn, Deebo doesn't have a target in the pass game. And you see it, Pearsall go crazy. You see Juwan Jennings go crazy. You see Kittle get his money. And Purdy's throwing for over 300 yards. He got phased out here. So I think that's step one. Pearsall, step two, okay, it's going to get an off season. It's going to be okay. Hopefully, like Herm Edwards said, you got to hold him back from working out too hard. You need him to be injury-free in training camp and go hit the ground running. And build a rapport with, hopefully, Brock Purdy. I don't know if he said anything about surgeries yesterday. I don't think he's getting anything. If Purdy's able to work out with him in the offseason, and you get Brandon Ayuk back here training, we'll see with him
and
Juwan Jennings. So that's, I feel good about that rapport.
Purdy said, and I wrote this down, he's taking a month and a half off from throwing.
So there is something there with that elbow.
Clearly.
And maybe he came back to try to help this team, because obviously
he was pretty specific.
Yeah,
a month and a half off.
Yeah, he wasn't right. He wasn't right. It's obvious. He came back in the Buffalo game, and he came back at the end of the season. Probably shouldn't have played.
So, I like Purdy, but we have to acknowledge some of these red flags here. And then correlating with that, like Juwan Jennings. He had a monster year this year, and he seems like a guy, when I see him in post games, and again, I'm just going off the feel and the sound, I think he wants a bigger role. Ideally, where does he belong on this wide receiver depth chart?
Hey, he's wide receiver two or three. That's fine. But I definitely need somebody who can take off the top off the defense, for crying out loud. That's what this team is missing. You look at all these teams, even in I'm looking at Ohio State and Jeremiah Smith, and guy's 18 years old, a true freshman.
I mean,
I think he'd be a top 10 pick right now if he left. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. Terrell Owens is going to join Willard and Dibbs at 4 o'clock today live in studio. And they had a graphic up during the Rose Bowl. Who does Jeremiah Smith compare to? And it was Julio Jones and Terrell Owens. And I looked at the graphic and said, yep, I agree. I was in the house by myself watching the Rose Bowl. I said, yep, I agree with that. And literally the next play, he goes and high points of football over somebody or did something. And I was like, yeah, that guy's a stud. The Niners may not be, like, obviously he's one of a kind, but the Niners do need a guy who can stretch the defense and threaten them down the field. Now, you may ask this question, well, you need a quarterback who could throw it down the field. Well, you know what? Maybe Purdy could. Maybe Purdy could if he had that guy. Maybe.
Well, this year, I don't know. He wasn't as effective throwing the ball deep as he was in the year past. So, you know, the sample is large compared to, like, other, you know, comparable rookies, but it's not that large of a sample size on Purdy.
Yeah, not only that, but also I look at this receiving core. You brought up Deebo. Is he even good anymore? Because I want to know, do you think he's good anymore?
Do I think Debo's good anymore as a wide receiver? No, I think he's a running back, but I kind of thought that for a couple of years, you know? And to me, the best way to utilize him in the passing game is out of the backfield. And I think that you have to give him those kind of throwaway touches as a running back to be able to have teams honor him in the passing game with a linebacker because they kind of change their personnel thinking it's a run play. Ideally, I'd like to see him and CMC way more in the backfield together if you're going to keep him. Yeah, is he still good? Like, I look at his tag hit for next year. It's not that bad for $15 million. And if I have question marks on Ayuk, as crazy as it sounds, I don't know if they're ready to move off of Deebo. And I don't know if I'm ready just yet.
Yeah, I think I'm ready. I love Deebo Samuel. I wanted him picked ahead of DK Metcalf. I wanted him bad. I wanted him in a Niner uniform bad. And he's been a good Niner. But just looking at the way the passing game is progressing and where they want to go with the pass game, because I do think they need to reinvent this passing game. That's why, whether it's Kubiak or maybe Shanahan, as Baldy just said, going to meet other coaches and watching other coaches, taking some things away and humbling yourself. The passing game moving forward, and Deebo transitioning to running back, it's like, we think it's so easy just to go receiver, running back, go play running back. No, it's not that easy. You got to have the vision, got to have the quick twitch muscles to go through the hole, when to jump cut, when not to jump cut, when to break it outside, when to follow your blockers. Does Deebo have all that as a running back? I don't think so. You ran a couple jet sweeps with him with some gun runs, a little different.
Well,
I don't know if he has that vision
of running back. Your main running back is
CMC. But I don't know if he's good enough to be a backup running back. There's a lot to go into being a running back unless you trade all offseason to be a running back.
They had six guys at running back.
And you're talking about a guy in Deebo Samuel at running back to where we know he's injury prone.
Oh, there's no doubt. But so is everybody else in that backfield currently.
6'5", do you try to go get Tyreek Hill?
No, I want nothing to do. No more high-priced receivers, guys. Like it's Tyreek the Shanahan
Hill.
Offense.
Tyreek Hill will be
I don't want.
The player? You wouldn't want the player?
No. They just gave him a 3-year, $90 million contract extension, and he wants out after 1 year.
Man, no, I understand.
I'm done with the drama and the divas and the money. I'm done with it. Like, can we have a couple of years where I'm not worried about that?
I would take, look, the player, now you're going to get all the nonsense, and I don't want that. I don't want the character. I don't want drama. I don't want any of that. But like Bill Parcells, man, he said, look, you need some good characters. They need some characters that are characters, but that could play. Tyreek Hill changes your entire offense.
When I think about the problems on this team, solving it with a wide receiver and whatever it would take to go get him and then the money allocated to him, that is poor asset allocation.
They need to
spend their money on the run game and the offensive line and the defensive line, linebackers, and safety,
not another
wide receiver.
I agree with that.
We did this with Ayuk, and I think Ayuk's a really good player.
You're telling me, save the Dolphins, say, all right, give us two threes for Tyreek Hill. You wouldn't do that?
I don't want Tyreek Hill. I'm not in the business of bringing him in. On this team, we don't throw the ball enough to keep him happy.
Listen,
he'll be happy for 5 or 6 weeks, and then he'll be frustrated.
Is this a question?
I'm out on him.
Is this a question?
Yeah, I'm out on
question.
Him. I'm out
is this
on
a
him.
Question? My first priority is in the trenches. I want a ball hawking safety.
Do you think the Niners regret the entire, like, forget the injury?
I'm just saying, Tyreek Hill takes the top off the defense. He changes
everything. I think the Niners dramatically regret the Brandon Ayuk thing. I think if they had a redo, I think they would have traded him at draft day.
They should have. They should have. If the way they let it drag on, it's they're as accountable for the Ayuk situation as Brandon Ayuk is. I swear. It was a joke. He wanted to get signed shortly after the Super Bowl. Now, speaking of Ayuk, and remember his girlfriend or wife, she had posted like, yo, this is the last time we're going to be in this locker room, blah, blah, blah. Well, something just hit my timeline. And Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner's wives have posted to social media indicating Greenlaw's time in San Francisco has come to an end. So, point of view, this is from, I think, Mrs. Warner. Your team didn't make playoffs, and the NFL free agency has taken your best friend to another team, and we are severely unwell. Greenlaw's wife. We quite literally have been blessed with the best neighbors the past 2 years. Our last block party. If there's anything we need to know about social media is that Dre Greenlaw may be playing on a different team next season.
Well, he might. I think that any team bringing him in understands there's a tremendous amount of risk. with his injury history. Like, it sucks, but it's true. When he's on the field, he's a destroyer. I mean, he's an amazing player.
That would be a massive loss.
He played two quarters, though, this year.
Yeah, that would be a massive loss. That would be a massive loss because everything we talked about this season, about the defense not having that guy who is a tone setter, a guy who can take the top off, who can just knock somebody's heads off offensively. That attitude. He was that attitude.
No, I
and just in
I
the
agree.
Two quarters against the Rams, you're like, wow, yes, we missed Drake Greenlaw. I get he only played two quarters and four plays next week in Miami. Probably came back a little early. I didn't want him to come back at all, but it is what it is. It will still be a massive loss to that locker room to lose Drake Greenlaw. There's no
dispute. I agree,
that.
But I think he's really hard to value. Like, how do you place a value on someone who hasn't played for a full year and that you don't know will be healthy? I'm not saying I want him back, right? But, like, how much do you give him? Multi-year deal. It's a linebacker position. You know, it depreciates kind of like running back in a sense. He's banged up. I mean, maybe you're going in a scheme change direction, and maybe I would think he would fit a variety of schemes, yeah. But maybe he doesn't fit the direction that they want to go in.
Those are all valid points.
I mean, then this goes back to, and I know, like, we want to remove ourselves from the quarterback, but when you pay a quarterback a lot of money, you do have to say goodbye to expensive other players that you normally could afford that now you can't.
I'm not so sure how many players you're going to have to say goodbye to, though, with the way this contract's going to get structured. We'll see. We'll see about that. Let's get to Richie Rich. He's been on hold for a while. 888-957-9570 is the number. How many people are not comfortable with Purdy coming back as your starting quarterback? What do you make of Deebo Samuel? We have plenty of questions. Plus, we'll talk to the Warriors in the 9 o'clock hour.
I have another question, but I know you're going to go to Richie Rich. Have we seen the best of Nick Bosa? Are we ever going to get a good year again from Nick Bosa? Like, that's a legit question I have.
Richie Rich.
What's up, fellas? Good morning, man. Let me get a few things off. First, as far as this Sorensen, his ass got to go, right? You got to crash that wide nine. Let's be real. We don't have the power to run the wide nine. We ain't got the personnel. I mean, our front four is subpar, which makes Bosa look even subpar, mediocre at best, right? So you got to change that offense. The defensive corner got to go. His ass got to go. Got to bring someone in that's going to run that 3-4, right? That 3-4, you see what it does for the quarterbacks, right? You don't know who's coming in. You don't know who's dropping back. And when you blink your eye, everyone's in the backfield. And it causes the quarterback to make rational decisions. That's how you're going to get takeaways. You're going to get picks. You're going to get sacks. It's got to happen, period. That has to happen to the defense. And unless you're going to hit in the draft, which, let's be real, it's not guaranteed to make that defense better. Dude's got to go. That is played out. It's gone. Bye-bye. See you later.
I'm with you.
What else you got, Richie Rich?
Totally agree.
What about Purdy?
It's got to go. I'm with Purdy, man. Like, who are you really going to bring in to run the offense right now? Who are you going to bring in? Let's be real. All right? I know, Shafty, you said no, but I am sold on bringing Kirk Cousins in. He may be washed, but why? Because Kyle has wanted him forever. He's had him. All the talk is, let's bring him back. So whether he gives a little competition tonight or not is going to light the fire on the Brock's ass. Like, damn, he brought Kirk Cousins in. I got to look back at myself and make some decisions and do better. So it's got to happen, man. You know, it's got to. And I definitely see Deebo going bye-bye. Why? Because I think Pearsall can step up and take that role.
Yeah.
I think Jennings has proved to us that he is a number two. If he didn't get thrown out, the guy got 1K. You guys tell me you've seen Jennings getting 1K this year. I didn't see that at all.
No.
You know what I mean? He stepped up, man. He deserves that two role. And then we got to see what's up with Ayuk. You know what I mean? But I'm going to leave you on this note. The backfield is undetermined. Okay? Everyone is hurt. No one's proven. All right? I know it's a bold move. But Shanny got to go out there and go get Gentry. You got to go do that because you do not know what's certain.
You know, how many Niner fans will want to see the 49ers take a running back number 11 overall?
I want to trade down like Detroit did with Gibbs, and they got LaPorta and Gibbs. Now, they got Gibbs with the 12th pick. They had the original 6th pick.
Yeah, exactly.
See, to me, I think the Niners could trade down from 11, get multiple second rounders and a later first. Like, that would be my, if you're asking, like, dream scenario, that would be one of my dream scenarios.
Ashton Gentry in ESPN's latest mock draft, Jordan Reed is their NFL draft.
I see him around 10.
They have him going number 12 overall to the Dallas Cowboys. How many Niner fans would want Jinchy at 11 overall? I like Jinchy. I think he's a hell of a back.
I mean, let's be real. How many great years? I mean, even if CMC bounces back, we all agree, he's probably got one, like...
I don't know.
If he bounces back, one more great year?
That's fine. You can get a running back the next year. With this team, with this roster, 888-957-9570. I'll go around the room, too. You would take Jinchy 11 overall?
No, I would trade down and take a running back. Like, to me, it's not just about your first pick, because I think we obsess on this. To me, it's the totality. So if I have two in the second and one in the first, it's like I got to walk away with a D lineman, an offensive lineman, and a running back. Like, that's how I'm viewing it. It doesn't matter the order.
They draft running backs every year.
Yeah, but they draft the 11th or 12th best running back, and it's some, like, for example, Isaac Arendo wasn't even a full-time starter for Wisconsin. That was the other guy who the Jets took.
He looked all right, though.
He got hurt, like, five times.
He looked all right when he did stay healthy. How many people want a running back in this draft here? I think people are tired of running backs, but I'm here for everything. I want to hear it all. That's coming up, sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems.
Nation, it's Buddy Hill. Listen to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
You better hit those breaks, Bonte.
Didn't hit that 7:55 break, that's for sure, because we have Baldy on. I needed to hear some things about Baldy. He's got the Philadelphia Eagles going to the Super Bowl. We'll do that later week before we get to the playoffs or Super Bowl picks, because as much as I hate the Philadelphia Eagle fans, and I cannot stand them, especially that clown John Marks, I blocked him on Twitter. The guy told me on Twitter, by the way, just, you know, because I haven't been tweeting at all, but the guy goes, if there is a number one seed for hate, Bonte Hill will be it. He goes, I absolutely hate that guy. I said this on Twitter. I was like, little guy, little man.
I got some Niner questions for you, and we're going to get to those in just a second.
But
ask me the question that you just asked me before the lights went on.
I don't remember what the lights were. I don't remember.
Would you be a stay-at-home dad?
Oh, hold on. Philadelphia's... I'm fearful that they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well,
I'm fearful.
Just see if Jalen Hurts suits up.
What does it matter? They're going to beat Green Bay with Kenny Pickett.
I got Green Bay winning that game outright,
even with Jalen Hurts.
No. They're gonna keep it close to the spread with Jalen Hurts. If no Jalen Hurts, I got Green Bay winning that game outright.
I got Kenny Pickett.
And no, I'm not Adam Myers. Just a man.
No. I got Philadelphia kicking their ass. Anyway. Oh, would you be a stay-at-home dad, Joe Shasky?
Hell yeah. I wish I had it like that. Dude, you know how sparkling clean my house would be if I was a stay-at-home dad?
Oh, mine would not
be. I mean, dude, we would... I'd be like one of those walkers. I'd be like walking around. I'd have stuff to do. I'd be one of those coffee dads. Oh, yeah, dude, I'd be all about it. Hell yeah. I would love, if my wife made enough, and she has a very good job, I'm not trying to put her, you know, down in any way, but like if we were lucky and fortunate enough to have it to where one of us could stay home full time, hell yeah. Oh my God, I'd be all about that.
I'd be a stay at home dad, but I wouldn't be cleaner. I'd hire a cleaner for that.
What?
I'd hire a cleaner for that.
See, my OCD forces me to do all the cleaning.
No, I just wouldn't be in the house much if I was a stay at home dad. I'd be a stay at home dad who's not in the house as much.
Well, you got to have a routine.
You know? Yeah,
you routine, gotta have a routine.
The routine would not involve cleaning the house all the time.
I'll tell you this. In the last, I don't know, 4 months, I've perfected how to make scrambled eggs for the little guy. Perfected it. So my home cooking skills have gone through the roof.
Oh, boy.
How those poached eggs going, though?
You know, I haven't had a poached in a while. It's a lot of scrambles, and then I stand and hover over him, and I eat, you know, whatever the leftovers and whatnot.
Chestnut does love, like, scrambled eggs. Sometimes she goes, I want Papa scrambled eggs, not yours, Mama. And I'm like, what?
I do want to say, though, being home with the kids is so way more difficult than I'm putting on, and I do want to give respect to those that do, because
you're just
I don't
finding
care.
Out.
What's that?
You're just finding out, buddy.
Yeah, well, no doubt. But every time I go over to my brother's house and I see the three of them under five, I'm like, jeez. Louise. I don't know. I mean, you would need an army vest and a Swiss Army knife, and I mean, just the amount of fights that they break up in that household.
Yeah, no, it's been fun over the holidays being around baby Chaz as she's been out of school for a couple of weeks. I was like, Chaz, go to the Warriors game with Mama. She didn't want to go to the theater box seat. She was like, no, I don't want to go.
I don't want to go.
I was like, all right. So it's tough to get her out the house. But she did. It was funny. Her and her friends, they had like their first official spa day. They wore like little kids' face masks, and they were sitting there with robes, and they were just like, wow, the girl life is something else. Girl dad, man, it's different. I want to see Shasky as a girl dad. You, Michelle, another one. I'd love to see you as a girl dad. Be very interested in that. Shasky playing with Barbie vans in the console houses, Gabby doll houses.
We'd probably just be about that volleyball travel life, you know? I'm not going to lie.
My daughter did call me last week. She goes, Papa, I want to try tennis. And immediately I thought of Richard Williams, the father of Serena and Venus. And I said, okay.
This look coming some, from the maker of I will never coach and push my daughter in any direction.
I wouldn't coach. But when she called me and told me that, I go on Twitter and BG Tennis Nation Brad Gilbert was pumping up the rackets that he had inside of his, he's got a store, a tennis store in Marin. Shout out to Brad Gilbert.
Oh.
And I was thinking, oh. We know Brad Gilbert.
We do.
Oh, we have tennis courts in our complex. Whoa. Oh, let's go, Chess.
Well, I mean,
she's going to have my height.
I mean, the Will Smith biopic with Richard, the father of Serena and Venus, was, what was the name of it? King Richard?
Oh, was it?
Oh
King no, it Monte. Wasn't King Richard.
There, it was.
Wasn't King Richard.
Yes, it was.
No, that wasn't the name of the movie. I watched that movie. No, it's not the King Richard. Oh, my God.
I would love it.
I'm looking at it right now. King Richard, 2021, sports drama.
Dude, I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm glad you paid attention to the movie and then the title of it.
Yeah, I always see. I told you all the time. I know songs, but I don't remember the titles of songs.
What's that movie with the gladiator in it? That one. Yeah, yeah, that one.
Hey, I just saw that, the new one.
No spoilers.
I liked it a lot.
It was good. Not as good as the first, as some were saying. But
I don't know about good as first, because the first was iconic.
Exactly.
It's really good, though. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Denzel was very good in it.
He is good in it.
So
got perfect teeth though, and that's the only thing that kept like in my head. I'm going, if you're really, because this is where I struggle with
Gladiator.
The teeth aren't supposed to be that great. That's what made Game of Thrones so good. Everyone had bad teeth. It's the British life.
Terrible teeth.
Shogun's the new one you gotta watch.
Yeah, I heard Shogun popped up on my Netflix yesterday.
So
1600 in Japan, right? Or something like that.
It's awesome.
I just finished Squid Games too.
I love Japanese culture to begin with.
This
is old school, and it is. Oh, man, I'm learning a lot.
Dude, you got to go to Japan one day. That's on my bucket
list. Well, yeah, that's on my list.
I just got through with Squid Games too. Squid Games too.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Anyway, also the new Dexter. They showed Dexter when he was a. I don't know if you're into Dexter. I'm a Dexter fan.
You a Squid Games guy, Bonta? Did you like that show?
So I didn't watch season one. Anna was watching season two. She was binging it. And I was like, this looks interesting.
It is.
So I watched the last two episodes. I watched the last two episodes with her, and I was kind of hooked. I was like, whoa, I got to go back and watch one. She was like, I'll watch it with you. I was like,
it's like me in this upcoming draft class. I'm kind of hooked because I'm looking at this thing for the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm saying to myself, like if I just look at the team, like, hear me out here, guys. 2025 finances for the team. Fred Warner's on this team. George Kittle's on this team. Trent Williams is probably going to be on this team if he wants to play. Bosa, I feel like he's going to be on this team. Now, Debo's up in the air. Ayuk will be on this team. Hargrave, up in the air. Leonard Floyd, up in the air. I think CMC is going to be on this team. All right? Outside of that, you know, it's a lot of replaceable, right? And now Dominic Pooney and Renardo Green and some guys making very little money are going to be on this team. And I'm saying to myself, if I'm a Niner fan, I think the number is five. I want five picks in the first three rounds.
Well, they do. Let me look at their picks here.
And that's why I want the trade back. Well, you're going to get the compensation picks, and I don't think those necessarily.
Yeah, but they're
like smashed at the end of the third round.
I just had it up here, their picks.
And I'm looking at just how this draft is shaking down. And if you're looking for strength of the, like, there could be three offensive tackles taken in the top 10. Could be. Now, they got two edge guys. The kid from Georgia, Walker, is an absolute stud. Would love to get him. Abdul Carter's probably the number one overall. Yeah. There are players that can help this team immediately. We know how this is. Quarterbacks get inflated. So the fact that the Niners don't need to draft a quarterback in the first round, if you do the little trade back, they can really shore up a ton of their needs. This could be a great offseason for them, but I think it starts with the draft.
All right, so 2025, first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round pick. Seventh round pick goes to the Panthers, but they have all obviously the comp picks. I saw like five picks in the first three rounds, if I'm not mistaken. So with the comp picks as well.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that as well. And I want trenches. I don't want a running back in the first couple of rounds. I want Trenches. Because I do think, because I'm a little higher, I'm not as down on McCaffrey as others are. And I hear what you're saying about the injuries and there's a concern. But when I saw that Buffalo game in the snow, I said, okay, you get this guy healthy, he's going to be CMC. It's going to be fine. And I do think he has a couple good years left in this offense. Now, you need another running back to help offset some of the things. I think this draft is deep with running backs. I really do. I was just looking at Walter, and I love this website. I've been looking at it for years, walterfootball.com, where he ranks all his running backs. He has Jitsi at number one, but Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, who's coming on, he's having some good games for Ohio State. Omarion Hampton, not bad with North Carolina. Didn't watch a ton of them. Caleb Johnson from Iowa's got speed. He's got size. Dude's like 6'1", 6'2".
Where they got the Penn State running back going?
Singleton? Yeah. You think he's a junior, so I don't know if he's coming out yet.
He's
but
dynamic.
He's nice, but Damian Martinez from Miami, we saw him at Memorial Stadium at Cal Berkeley. Donovan Edwards, who got benched this year, but I still think there's something there with Donovan Edwards from Michigan. I've seen him in too many big games, have too many big runs, and he could catch the ball out of the backfield. I like Donovan Edwards. I wouldn't be mad at that in the middle of the round. So I'm good off running back. I've convinced myself I do not want a running back in the first two rounds. I want D lineman. I want O lineman. I need to fix the trenches to protect my quarterback who I'm about to pay in Brock Purdy.
To me, there's a Nick Bosa question that I think is a fair one to ask out loud. And this is a make-or-break year for me, and I think for a lot of fans when it comes to Nick Bosa. If you're going to bet on Nick Bosa, like they paid him. He's not going anywhere for this year. They can't really get out of his like big-money deal without a big dead cap hit for 2 years. Are you worried we've seen the best of Nick Bosa already?
I'm not worried. I don't get worried over these guys, Shasky. I would say something different.
If you were to bet.
I would say
18.5 sacks, defensive player of the year, absolute monster. And he just hasn't really even come close these last 2 years.
Worry, concern, I get those words. I would just say I'd be disappointed if that's the best we've seen of Nick Bosa. And you know what? We may have seen the best of Nick Bosa. Do you think we've seen the best of Joey Bosa?
I don't like doing the brother thing.
I don't like doing the brother thing either. I don't like doing it either. But I'm looking at his trajectory. 10.5, 12.5, and then 5.5, 11.5, 7.5, 10.5. You look at his last 3 years, 2.5, 6.5, 5. The Bosa's get hurt. The Bosa business bros who are about their business and about their paper. What I saw from Bosa this season, and we're going to play some sound for Baldy, because he's disappointed with the player on the field. I'm disappointed with the player, not only on the field, but off the field. Lack of leadership. The thing with Devondre Campbell, I'm talking. Andy. You stole Garrido and Brock Purdy and Kittle's moment with the political stance. And I don't care what side you're on, right or left, who you vote for. I don't give a damn. But you did that on national TV, and then you ducked the smoke in the postgame presser. And then, not to mention, last year, when I saw you in the Super Bowl, our own two eyes, your two eyes, my two eyes, and I'm screaming at you, Shasky, saying, it's the last possession of regulation. It posts on the sideline, Shasky. Oh. 97's on the sideline. Reminded me of Andre Carter when Dick Vermeil in the Super Bowl said, dude, this is the Super Bowl. And you're coming out? This is the Super Bowl. The guy off the field has disappointed me a lot more than the guy on the field. And that's saying a lot. So the verdict's out on Bosa. Yeah, you're right. It is a big year for number 97.
I think this is a monster year, and I think it's fair to start asking these questions. Because like we do this with Ayuk, we did this with Debo, we've done it now with Purdy. Yep. Like when you have a career year, right, and then you cash in, the question is now like, okay, all right, you got paid a premium. Are you going to replicate that? You ever going to bring that back? Feels like Debo, no, you know, straight up. Christian McCaffrey, I think we're going to have these same questions. Like, was that 2023 season of excellence, even though you were great in 2022, was that the outlier?
Yeah, well, look, that great year with the 23 touchdowns, I don't think we'll ever see that again. But will we see from Christian McCaffrey over 1,000 yards, over 1,200 yards, over 50 catches? Absolutely. I think McCaffrey, the Buffalo game, all I needed to see was in the snow. I said, damn, McCaffrey's back. And then obviously what happened with the knee injury and whatnot. And he says that he's going to be 100% healthy. I'm not worried about it. Matter of fact, let's hear from McCaffrey himself.
Yeah, it was frustrating for a lot of reasons. I think, I grew up playing in a lot of snow games, and so for me, I was really excited to play in another snow game. It was very nostalgic for me, and it was also kind of the first time I felt like myself again, and I was excited about that. But that was good. It was good that it happened because I got to taste it again and understand what I can do, and, you know, I'm feeling great now, and it's just a matter of putting together the best offseason as possible, working extremely hard, and coming back for OT. He's ready to go.
So, I'm not doubting that guy. I'm sorry. I can't. Bonte Hill, has been watching this guy since he stepped foot at Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doubting Chris McCaffrey. This guy's a Hall of Fame player.
But you are doubting Bosa a little?
Absolutely.
So, he had the great rookie year.
I'm not necessarily doubting Bosa. But I think a scheme change is going to do him good.
I think we need a scheme change
for Nick Bosa. And I think Nick Bosa maybe should have just said, you know what? Get me in the traditional 4-3 or 3-4. Let me just get after the quarterback because he's stiff. He's a power rusher. I don't see any speed. Now, the money's going to sway us to thinking that he needs to get 3 sacks every single year. Just not possible. But how much can you impact a football game?
Forget the sack total. That, I think, is the more important thing.
So, like, pressures.
Rookie year was great, right?
Give me pressures. Rookie year was awesome. He had 10 sacks.
Okay, yeah, I agree. All right, his second year, he got hurt. So this is a bad year, right? You can't control it, but he got hurt. All right, 2021, I thought was a really, really, really good season. Okay, 2022, a phenomenal season. You went defensive player of the year. We've had back-to-back what I would call subpar seasons. And that was after getting broke off. So he needs to have a bounce-back great year. Not a good year, a freaking great year. To me, like, forget 15 and a half sacks. To your point about, like, making plays in the backfield just relentlessly. I watched Myles Garrett.
Pressures.
I watched Myles Garrett on horrible Cleveland teams on and off the field be their leader. And that's what I want from Nick Bosa. I want more of the Myles Garrett style of what I see. Relentless pass rusher and none of the other shenanigans. Ready to go. Stop throwing DCs under the bus. Be a leader.
Well, that's why I've been down on him. He came in late to camp. Stuck the Niners for $20 extra million, and then midway through the season, your sack numbers are down, and you're throwing the D. You're talking about you're experimenting with pass rush moves, and blah 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 blah. It's just I don't. Every time, you know, he's one of those guys who speak, and you start to cringe a little bit because you're just saying what, why? Like George Kittle's responded to Nick Bosa, but Nick Bosa said, "Yeah, it's hard for me to look players in the eyes because I'm disappointed." And I understand that you're a captain of the team, and you guys have lost, and this is probably tough on you. However, but Kittle's like, no, I can look guys in the eyes because I played my ass off. And you heard Baldy there. I wonder who Baldy was talking about. Because Baldy said, you know, I watched a film and I saw some guys who didn't give 100% effort. I wonder who he was talking about.
Well,
who was out there dogging it on Sunday in Glendale, Arizona?
I don't know. I felt bad watching Charvarius Ward out there, and I don't even like bringing his name up because of what's happened to him off the field and stuff. It's just he just didn't look engaged, you know. And then there was that nice little pass that Kyler Murray threw over his shoulder on the back shoulder. He didn't even know it was coming his way. And with the rookie Marvin Harrison Jr. just boom, touchdown. Yeah. It was like too easy, pitch and catch. Poor Charvarius Ward. I think he needs a total change of scenery for his own sight.
You hear what he said yesterday?
Did.
We'll get the Baldy on Nick Bosa. We'll get the Moody Ward in a second. But before we move on from Nick Bosa, I do want to talk a little Warriors at some point. Here's Baldy on Nick Bosa's season.
I mean, he was disappointing. I mean, he still is a force. He's not Micah Parsons. He's not T.J. Watt right now. He's not getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands. He's not batting balls down. You know, he's not – I don't know. I feel like he's going up against backup tackles on Sunday, and I didn't see him destroy him. You know, like, that's Nick Bosa. He's supposed to destroy those backup tackles.
Great.
Not Paris Johnson out there. You know, I think he still plays the game the right way, but I don't know if he's not as fast twitch as he used to be. It looks like it's just clearly just a pure power game right now. And if it's not working, then he's not getting it.
That's disappointing to hear. Because I remember a couple years ago, if we said T.J. Watt was better than Bosa, the lines would have lit up and people would say, get off the damn airways. You don't know what you're talking about. Here we are two years later, and Baldy's like, yeah, he's not Micah Parsons. He's not T.J. Watt. Are you kidding me? Myles Garrett? This guy can't even beat backup tackles. He's not even No PBUs at the line of scrimmage.
He's got a $62 million dead cap hit. Would you even entertain a trade?
For that cap hit? Nah, I think you give it another go around with Bosa. But the money does go up.
What about his bookend? Do you buy into him needing someone on the opposite end of him? Look, no one's going to pretend that Isaiah Hightower is as good as, you know, yeah, whatever. Any other elite defensive end. But he is a nice player on the opposite end of TJ Watt. I thought Leonard Floyd would be better, but to me that feels like a cop-out.
Yeah, no, but
like, I'm saying a cop-out in terms of trying to producing. Defend Nick Bosa's play. Yeah, I don't producing. Think I should do that.
Yeah, how many double teams did he actually see? Because other guys see double teams and they beat him relentlessly. TJ Watt beats him relentlessly.
Aaron
Miles
Donald
Garrett.
Had a career of it.
Right. So I'm not buying that aspect of it, but I will defend Bosa in this sense. Inside, the Niners need to upgrade. They need to upgrade bad. Obviously, Javon Hargrave have been a massive disappointment. Massive. You can't understate that. Getting some defensive tackles that could take some pressure off of him and maybe get some one-on-one opportunities to rush the quarterback and push the pocket inside, I think will help a guy like Nick Bosa. I also think the scheme doesn't do him any favors with the wide nine. He's so lined up outside, and if you don't have good defensive tackles inside, not to say that Collins wasn't good for the Niners, but if you don't have good defensive tackles inside, especially in a wide nine scheme, you're going to probably be less and less effective. Well, and Nick Bosa was that.
I think,
and nobody wants to hear it because of the money he's paid.
I think the money is extremely important. On the list of problems for the Niners, Bosa's low. But when you're paying a guy that much money, I want some return on the dollars. And I don't think they're maximizing him. And I don't think he's maximizing himself. And so that's why this is an issue for me. I still think he's a good player. But, like, Doug, we gave you premium price tag.
Have you soured on him a little bit because of some of the stuff off the field? Not just on the field. Some of the off-the-field stuff.
I don't really care. Like, if I'm being real, I think way more people online care about, you know, who people are voting for than in, like, real life.
Not only that. It was just the timing of it, right? It's just kind of – It's not even that incident that I'm outraged about. Like, I don't care either. I'm with you. I don't care either. But it's the totality of everything in a way you're like, dude, you're a leader of the team. You go up there, you do what you do, and then you say, yeah, I'm not going to speak about it. And then the Campbell stuff happens. The night of the Campbell situation, Thursday Night Football, you say, yeah, I don't know what really happened. What happened? I didn't know. And then the next day, you say that, well, yeah, I heard some chirping going around, and you know, I probably should have said something, but I didn't. Dude, you wear a C on your chest.
Well,
George Kittle was ready to fight Devondre Campbell. George Kittle went up to the podium and said, I wish I would have known something was going on during the game. I would have talked to him right then and there. Fred Warner probably would have saved the same team.
Well, that part I agree with. Like, just my setting in general, and I said this, man, ad nauseum, but, like, I don't really want to hear who Steph's voting for, or Steve Kerr, or Greg Popovich, or Nick Bosa, or Tom Brady. I just don't care. Like to me, if you're getting your voting cues from celebrities and athletes, like, okay, well, we're different. I don't, and I don't care, and I don't want to hear from them on those things. On the teammate stuff, on the leadership stuff, yeah, I do have a small problem with that. Absolutely. Like, that stuff is real. And
but also,
I think that's where Fred Warner and George Kittle have separated themselves from Nick Bosa as team leaders.
Yeah, but not only that, it goes back to last year when everybody was dogging out Steve Wilks for a cover zero blitz in Minnesota. And I'm trying to look at the bright side of that game and say, well, you held him to 6 points in the second half. The quarterback threw two picks in the fourth quarter. The quarterback threw two picks on back-to-back plays in Cincinnati. You know? And Bosa was throwing a D coordinator in the bus. It's like, that's acceptable around here now?
Well,
and everybody rolled with him. Everybody's begging for Steve Wilks again.
Well, this is why you cannot listen to the players. On the next DC, they can't listen to the players. I love Fred. I love Nick. You cannot let them sway you on who they want.
We brought up D coordinators with Baldy, and I'm going to get to Ward because we could do that as we end the segment. But here's Baldy. You know, I asked him about the Cincinnati defense coordinator, Lou Anarumo. Would you go after him if you're a Baldy?
I think he's much more creative than anything I saw in San Francisco over the last couple of years. I'm a big Lou Anarumo fan. I think he has a very sharp mind. I think I remember talking to him. He lives literally right down the street from me in Fort Lauderdale. He's got a house there. But I remember talking to him this year. I mean, at one point in the Kansas City game that they lost, at the end in Kansas City, he had two healthy defensive tackles, like, playing. Two. Like, they were so thin up front. And some of those guys weren't very good players. So, like, he was doing the best he could with what he had. But I think that would be an upgrade. I think he's going to – I don't think he's going to be unemployed long. Like, I think there's a team on the East Coast that is going to make a switch pretty soon and reach out to him.
I wonder who that team is. Is it New York Giants?
No, because Daboll and
Well, they may change their D coordinator, though.
But wasn't he Daboll's defensive coordinator originally?
No, he's offensive coordinator.
No, I'm saying Daboll was the head coach of the New York Giants,
yeah.
And he had Wink Martindale, and they let him go.
Yeah. They let him go.
So it's not them.
But Wink's in Michigan, but they may fire their D coordinator. Who knows? The Giants may fire their coordinator, see Lou, and say, hey, I'm trying to figure out that East Coast team.
In 2018, Anarumo was the defensive backs coach for the New York Giants in 2018. But that was what? Joe Judge? That was before Daboll.
Before Daboll. I'm just trying to figure out an East Coast team.
Who knows?
New England?
Panthers?
They said they're going to keep their D coordinator. New England? I don't know. But
Jets?
Sweet Lou? I do like Brian DePaul.
Does every Lou need to be addressed as Sweet Lou? I kind of like this.
I do like Sweet Lou, yeah. No, I either want Sweet Lou or I want Wink Martindale. I was thinking about Wink and then BPA out of nowhere.
Such a great name.
It is such
Sweet
a great
Lou
name.
Sweet Lou or Wink Martindale.
Wink or
and
Sweet Lou.
We never know what's his real name. It can't be Wink on the birth certificate.
It can't be Wink.
It's got to be Wink.
I love when he wears the thermal, like it's like the dry fit, and then he has the cut sleeve sweatshirt, and he doesn't even bother to wear a t-shirt.
Don is Don Martindale.
Oh, Don. Yeah, Wink works way better. Don.
Wink was a famous like radio personality and a game show host back in the 70s. You know the tic-tac-toe game?
Yep.
He was the host, and he was Winston Conrad, a.k.a. Wink Martindale. So that's why they gave Don Martindale, same last name, the nickname Wink.
Okay.
The more you know. Look at that.
There you go. So Baldy was saying that, yeah, he wants to get back. I was like, yo, does Wink want to get back in the NFL? He wants to leave Ann Arbor? He goes, oh, yeah. The Niners should call him. Maybe Shanahan is calling him. Hey, you saw his defenses with Baltimore all those years. You saw his defense. He said they let the league in takeaways at the New York Giants. The New York Giants was sorry. Sorry as hell.
Do you think he's actually going to fire Sorensen today? I don't.
You think he's going to run it back with Sorensen?
I worry that they are.
They run it back with Sorensen? That may be the end of Kyle Shanahan.
It's not the quarterback.
It may be the beginning of the year.
It's the DC.
No, it is a DC. It is because the quarterback's fine. The quarterback's functional.
Let's go back to 2017, 2018. The DC wasn't looking so hot.
He wasn't looking hot.
I mean, there was a time when Robert Saleh was on the hot seat. They were like trying to trot out Cassius Marsh as an elite pass rusher.
Yeah, but Sorensen, if Fred Warner had his back, Nick Sorensen, he goes, it's on the players. Nick has been good for us.
Who had a great year on defense?
Nobody. Oh, Diamond Lenore.
Was it a great year, though? It was a good year.